I want to welcome each one of you to our worship service this Sunday morning as we sang, "Because He lives, we can face tomorrow." Praise the Lord. How many of you believe that? Can you lift up your hands and bless the Lord this morning? No matter whatever happens around us, our God is alive and we don't need to fear, because God says, "I am going to be there with you every step of the way." This morning we don't have the PowerPoint, but I want you to open your Bibles to the Epistle of James chapter 5. And we are going to discuss a few verses from chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. We are coming to the end of the epistle. There is only two more lessons or two more subjects to discuss from this topic. But I know that you have all been enjoying the Word of God over the past many weeks by different people from our church. God has been using these verses to speak to our hearts, and I praise God for that. This morning, I want to speak about the topic called sufferings, sickness, and sin. Sufferings, sickness, and sin. Many times we have misconceptions. Why do we have suffering? Why does somebody have sickness? Is it because the person sinned? Is it because we are not doing right? Is it God's plan for everybody to be not having any sickness? What is God's plan in our regard? The Bible tries to explain, James is trying to explain about these very important topics from these four verses that I'm going to point out to you. So this morning I want you to open your Bibles, because that's the only place that you can go back to. And I want you to go with me and understand what God wants to talk to us. Before I go into the verses, let me tell you that there are five truths that we should remember. Five fundamental truths that we should remember. Number one, there are two classifications of sin. One is the original sin, the other is the personal sin. Remember that. There are two categories of sin. The original sin is a sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." There is an original sin that happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed the commandment of God. And they broke the law of God, and from that point onwards, there was an original sin that is prevalent in every person who is alive on this earth. Now there is another called a personal sin also. This is a sin that we commit because of our daily disobedience, because of the nature of sin that is there in our life. Apostle Paul was struggling with this personal sin when he wrote the portion of Romans chapter 7, from 14 to 23, if you read that portion very carefully, Apostle Paul was struggling with his personal sin. He said, "I don't want to do this, but I am being made to do it." And he was struggling with the personal sin that we are all struggling with. Many of us, there are some sins that we continue to do even though we know it is not a right thing. And these two kinds of sins are prevalent in our life. While the original sin is the root, the personal sin is the fruit that comes out from our life. The second truth that I want you to understand is that original sin introduced sickness and death to the human race. Adam and Eve were not meant to die when they were created by God in the Garden of Eden. You should understand that. They would be like God because they were created in the image of God. They were not meant to die. But because they committed sin, death came into their lives and people started dying from the time of Adam and Eve. So, the sin, the original sin introduced sin and death in the human race. The third thing is, sometimes there is a direct relationship between personal sin and sickness. This is the third truth that we need to understand. There is a direct relationship between personal sin and sickness. For example, we all know about the the disease of AIDS that have come up in this world. And many of the times, if you go to the core of why this sickness ever started, it was because of the sins of the people who disregarded the law of God and who went and did sin. And one of the factors is because of that sin that they had the sickness of AIDS. So many other sins can be attributed to that as well. The story of David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, you know that we know that he committed adultery, he committed murder, and for some time he did not acknowledge his sin. During that time he wrote Psalms 32. Sangeetanam 32 ezhudhiya samayathu, when David wrote the Psalms 32, that was the time when he had not acknowledged that he had committed the sin. And this is what he wrote in verses 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality turned into the drought of summer. You know, David had that feeling that his bones became old and God's hand was heavy because he had not confessed the sins before God. Many times there is a direct relationship between our personal sin and the sickness that we have in our life. The fourth thing is, sometimes there is no direct relationship between personal sin and sickness. You know, one time Jesus was going with his disciples, and we read this in John's Gospel chapter 9 verses 2 and 3. As they were passing by a blind man, the disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered like this, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." So in that particular instance of that blind man who was born blind, Jesus says that that blindness is not because that person sinned or his parents sinned. But the reason that man is blind is that God's work will be revealed through his life. Praise the Lord. Also, we need to know the fifth truth is that sometimes God allows his children to remain sick. Not everybody has God healed if you look at the Bible. You know, Paul had a gift of healing, but when he left the island of Miletus, he left a person by the name of Trophimus as a sick person. We read that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 20. He left him as a sick person. Also, we know that Epaphroditus almost died while he was ministering to Paul. Philippians chapter 2 verse 25 to 27, Apostle Paul is writing about this great servant of God called Epaphroditus who almost died because of sickness. We also know that Timothy had a stomach ailment. He had a problem and he had continuous ailments in his body. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 23 shows that Timothy used to be sick at certain times. Even Paul, the great servant of God, the word of God says that he had a thorn in his flesh. And some Bible scholars think that that thorn was a sickness that was there in his body. And even though he requested from God, but he could not get the healing at all from that, because God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." If you go to the Old Testament, I just want to mention the name of Prophet Elisha. You know, in my readings, I never knew that Elisha, who did so many miracles, he did like 14 great miracles. Did you know that he died of sickness? 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14 speaks that Elisha died out of sickness in his old age. And he became sick and he died. So we need to understand that at times God allows us to have sickness. But there is a purpose that God has put. God wants that his glory should be revealed. And he allows his children to fall sick and sometimes even die. You know the case of Lazarus. When Lazarus became sick, Jesus was told, come your friend Lazarus.
Lazarus is sick. Jesus did not go. He did not even go when he died. He went after 4 days after he was buried. And Jesus said, you know, this sickness is not for death. It is for the glory of God. Amen. Can we lift up our hands and praise the Lord? Sometimes we are sick, not because of our sins, but this will be for the glory of God, that God will get the glory. Praise the Lord. So as I said this five truths, let's come to verse number 13. James is addressing certain groups of people here. He says, number one, what should we do? Number one, if you are suffering, if we are suffering, what we should do? James says in James chapter 5 verse 13, he says, if anyone among you suffering, let him pray. If you are suffering, you should pray. Suffering can mean mental illness. It can mean afflictions in the body. Whatever the suffering is, James says you should pray. We should pray for endurance. Like Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 verse 15, where he said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. So when you fall sick, or when you are in distress, when you are suffering for any reason, God's word tells you that one of the first things that you should do is you should pray. That is the time that God is knocking at the door and telling, this is time for you to lift your eyes to God and pray. Because God wants to speak to you at that time. Sometimes God does not take away the afflictions, but he uses them as tools to strengthen and build you up according to his will. So we need to remember that all sickness may not get healed, but all sickness should result in giving glory to God. Amen. How many of you agree with me? Can I see your hands and just say praise the Lord? All sickness should be for the glory of God. The second thing it says, James is telling, if you are cheerful, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. You know, sometimes we are happy. Everything is going well for you. You got a promotion. You got an increment. Your child did well in the exams. They did well in the competition. Don't be sad. It says be cheerful. But then it says let him sing psalms. You know, sometimes we don't need to feel guilty that we are not suffering like some people are suffering. When God gives us certain things in our life and it causes us to be happy, it says, let us sing psalms and rejoice before God. You know, there is a time for everything in our life. There's a time to cry. There's a time to laugh. As Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. There is a time that God gives us in our life. When it's a time of rejoicing, be happy. But don't be happy in just keeping the happiness to you. Give glory to God. It says, let him sing psalms. Let the psalms mean we are singing praises to God. We are giving God the glory. Lord, I thank you for your blessings. Hallelujah. So whenever God does something good for you, the thing that we need to do is we should sing psalms. We should sing songs and praise God for the blessings that he is giving for us. The third group of people here in verse number 13, it says in verse number 14, actually James 5:14, it says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. You know, James is telling a prescription for any brother or sister in the church who is falling sick. Unfortunately, as far as I can think, we have never done this in our church. Sadly. It says that if any one of you are sick, this is what you should do. Call the elders of the church. Doesn't say call a prophet. Doesn't say call a faith healer from another country. Or talk to the prophet over the phone in India. He will prophesy over you. Doesn't say anything of that. It says call the elders of your church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God works through the church. And God wants to work through the church. So when you are sick, one of the things that you should do is call the elders of the church. The people who are in the leadership, those who are mature, call them. And it says that let them anoint oil upon the sick and let them pray over you. You know, many times we have left off the sacrament of praying with anointing the oil. It is very powerful because when you pray and anoint somebody with the oil, really works in certain situations of that. I want to challenge the people who are sick is that sometimes maybe think about this verse and say, let me call the elders, let them anoint the head, let them anoint the person with the oil and let them pray. And then leave the results in the hand of God. It says, anoint them with the anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And then what happens? There are three results. When somebody, when the elders do that, there are three results that you can expect when they pray over the sick person. Look to verse number 15. It says like this, and the prayer of faith will restore the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. There are three results that should come out through the prayer of the elders of the church when they anoint the sick person with oil and pray over them. Number one is a restoration. You are restored back into the fellowship with God. Maybe the person has drifted away from God and they need restoration. So the first thing that can happen, you are restored back into the place that God wants you to be. Number two, it says that the Lord will raise him up. It means that a person who is physically sick, if the plan of God is he will raise him up from that sick bed so that that person will be able to minister for the glory of God. Hallelujah. The person can get a physical healing. You know, many times, and I will go into that a little time, many of times we get sickness because we don't confess our sins to God. Many times because you don't confess your sins, the sins get accumulated in your system and you fall sick. But we need to confess our sins and pray to God that God will heal you and raise you up. The third thing that happened is forgiveness. It says he will be forgiven. God will graciously forgive the person's sins. So this is something that we should expect when we are in the presence of God. Let me close this and give you four principles that we can claim in the God's presence. Number one, confession of our sin is healthy for us. I don't know how many of us believe this, but many times when we call and ask you to confess your sins, we don't really confess our sins. The Bible says that only when you confess your sins and ask God to cleanse you, that God will restore you back. You know, when you don't confess, what happens? The sins will continue to build up in your life. This is like a wall that is having impurities. Unless you clean off that impurities, it will not function properly. Similarly, if you don't confess your sins, if you don't ask forgiveness to God, if there are something that you did against somebody, you don't go to that person and ask forgiveness. Remember, that may be a result of the suffering and the sickness that you are going through. In Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13 it says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. നമ്മള് പാപങ്ങളെ മറച്ചു വെച്ചാൽ അവർ ഗുണപ്പെടുത്തില്ല. ബട്ട് ഇഫ് യു ഏറ്റു പറഞ്ഞ് ഉപേക്ഷിച്ചാൽ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കരുണ പ്രാപിക്കും. വെൻ യു കൺഫസ് യുവർ സിൻസ് ആൻഡ് ആസ്ക് ഗോഡ് ടു ഫോർഗീവ് ആൻഡ് ആസ്ക് പീപ്പിൾ ടു ഫോർഗീവ് യു, ഗോഡ് ഈസ് ഗോയിങ് ടു ടച്ച് യു ആൻഡ് ഗോഡ് ഈസ് ഗോയിങ് ടു ഹീൽ യു. സോ വി ഹാവ് ടു കൺഫസ് നോട്ട് ഓൺലി ടു ഗോഡ്. മെനി ടൈംസ് വി ഡു സർട്ടൻ തിങ്സ് അഗൈൻസ്റ്റ് പീപ്പിൾ ബട്ട് വി കൺഫസ് ടു ഗോഡ്. നോ, വി നീഡ് ടു കൺഫസ് ടു ഗോഡ് ബട്ട് വി ഓൾസോ നീഡ് ടു ഗോ ടു ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ ആൻഡ് ആസ്ക് ഫോർഗീവ്നെസ്. When you ask forgiveness, the healing will automatically start in your life. Second thing it says here, that we are reading here, is that you confess your sins and also pray for one another. You know, many times when we confess our sins to one another and you pray, God will really work in our life. Hallelujah. When we are getting together in small groups or maybe in individuals and pray for one another, God will touch us and God will heal us all. The third thing I will also want to say is that we should not think that medicines and doctors is not according to God's plan. You know, some people think that all healing should be divine. Only God can heal. But I will tell you from the scriptures that God uses medicines, God uses doctors, God uses the medical, the science to to heal us as well. So you should not deny yourself from medical assistance, but at the same time you should pray to God. God heals through medicines and God heals through prayer as well. Finally, when healing comes from God, we need to claim it, we need to thank the Lord, and we need to give Him the glory. End of the day, we need to give God the glory. Hallelujah. Let me close here with the last verse here in verse number 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we pray effectively, when we pray fervently and passionately, when we pray from our sins after they have been confessed to God and confessed to people, let me tell you that God is going to answer our prayers and God is going to heal our sickness. Let me tell you, we are not just a body. We have a soul and we have a spirit. We are a holistic person. So it is not only the body sickness, but many times the sickness is because we are sick spiritually, we are sick emotionally. We need to confess and ask God to forgive us of our sin. When, you know, sickness, our sins can make us sick, but when we get right with God, that can end our sufferings. This morning I want you to close your eyes for a minute. As I'm closing this small but very powerful teaching from God's word. Every sickness is not a result of sin. God has a plan in your life. Sometimes we need to understand, God, what is your plan for me? How can I glorify you through the sickness that I'm going through right now? And we need to come close to God. If we have done a sin against God, we need to confess. We need to confess before God and say, Lord, I am sorry. I have committed this sin in my life. I have done this thing in secret when nobody was looking. Lord, I have committed this sin. We need to confess to God. If we have hurt somebody through our words, we need to go to that person. God is looking. Remember, God is looking and God is watching us. We need to go to that person and ask forgiveness from that person. And we need to pray to God effectively, fervently, passionately. And when we are righteous before God, when we pray, the word of God says, our prayers will be answered. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the wonderful word that you've spoken us to us this morning. Lord, I know that many of us are sick in who are seated here. We all have different sickness in our bodies. Father, we want to glorify your name through whatever happens in our life. Through it all, Father, help us to confess our sins to you and confess our sins to other people and get right with God and with man, Father. Today, I thank you for the word that you have spoken through James. Lord, when we are suffering, let us be in prayer. When we are cheerful, help us to sing and glorify your name. When we are sick, help us to call the elders of the church that they will anoint us and they will pray over us, oh Father. This morning we thank you for the word that you've spoken, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much in our life. Help us to come passionately to you and pray and get healing from our sickness. I want to thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.